frequency, but anyone's on frequency this morning? Wait a minute, anyone on frequency this morning?
4 KBC, good morning now.
How'd you make out with your engine yesterday?
With it yesterday, parts are supposed to be in this morning, so we're gonna tackle it this morning, I guess.
VAT is a two-piece rear main seal. And you should have to pull the oil pan and pull the last damn bearing cap off.
And yesterday we're going to take the tires off that thing and drop it down where we can pull that thing out of there. It's going to be too hard to try to drop that oil pan and do all that with it inside that engine bay like that. Anyhow.
It's not a lot of 3Ts. It just took me a while to remember. Oh, it has those cheap engine stands for like 35 or 40 bucks. Or Harbor Freight, those old cheap three-wheel stands are really a good investment for doing a job like that. And you know what you do? You just use it and return it.
Much what he's got down there is one of those. It just that truck just sits so high. Well, yeah, it's a stock truck, but it sits high enough to where the boom won't come up high enough to clear the front of the truck. So we're gonna have to do something.
We have a lot of times. I've had the advantage. You have to extend the legs and the hoist too far, and you gotta get one heavy big boy standing on one side of the hoist so they don't flip the hoist over. And then you pull the engine up almost, and you just barely get in and catches the hood latch. I had so much fun pulling engines. Then you can't get enough room in the garage outside the truck. The garage isn't long enough. And then you gotta slide the thing sideways. You're pulling it out to slide it around, sideways around everything to get away from the truck. I've been there.
We can get everything replaced on it and at least start trying to get it put back in. Today I'm ready for this project to be over with.
If you guys need anything or need some assistance, just call me. You know, I've got a lot of that kind of stuff, so if you need anything, you know, you just give me a call and I can give you a hand.
Well, we fought half a day on that thing just trying to get it apart. We unbolted the bell housing and everything on it, and that sucker would not separate for nothing, and we tugged and we pried. And we tugged and we hammered, and we still cannot get it broke apart. It just would not come apart. We finally figured out on those things, the flywheel is too big on it to clear the bell housing. You can't pull it just straight out. You have to unbolt the transmission away from it and pull it away from the transmission, and then pick the bottom of the bell housing up from the bottom to clear the flywheel. You can't just pull it straight out.
That's funny, too. I've been through that. This is the first time I did one of those. I was probably that thing for I was working on a guy's driveway one day. I said, what in the world was this stupid thing? And I pulled transmissions out of everything. And I ran into the first time I ever did one of those, I realized the same thing. But at least I was smart on one thing. You can unbolt the transmission, the bell housing from the, if this is automatic or standard, but I know on the manuals, at least you can unbolt the four bolts to get the transmission and pull it away from the clutch.
We know on a Chevy, you can unbolt the bell housing from the back of the engine and leave it on the transmission. I mean, it's a standard, yeah. And it'll pull straight out. The flywheel's not bigger than what the bell housing is. Well, on this Dodge, the flywheel is bigger, so you just can't leave the bell housing on the transmission. You've got to pull bell housing off the transmission and leave it on the motor when you pull it apart.
To get it off the transmission, there's just enough room that you can move it sideways a little bit once it's off the transmission to get it out.
Like I guarantee you, we fought half a day trying to understand and figure out why that thing would not come off like that. We finally got down there looking around, looking a little doggone. Ain't no wonder that thing's never going to come off of there.
You got to watch out for it. You got this little metal plate that goes between the engine and the transmission with four bolts. That's what holds it, the torque rotor. And that plate, when you bolt it back together, make sure you mark everything, because I believe that plate can go backwards and things won't bolt upright. When you bolt it, there's an automatic bolt torque rotor back onto it.
Where the, we marked where the pressure plate, goes back on. The flywheel will only go on one way. But, yeah, we marked where the pressure plate goes back on and everything. But, yeah, I'll be glad when this one's done.
I remember the first time I rebuilt 318 for somebody. And the galley plugs in the block were another thing. I had to pull the plugs out, clean the oil galleys out. And there's a galley plug. Once you pull the distributor out, there's a galley plug right between the... You got one plug in the back, screw-in plug. But underneath, on the inside, just past the distributor, is another plug on the inside that you got to get out to get to clean the oil galley. And the other thing you got to watch out for with a Dodge is, it's got, I don't know if yours has breaker points or not. In 73, the first year I went to electronic ignition, cab formula in.
It's got breaker points on it.
The other thing I'm going to tell you, those distributors, they have, one of the problems with those things is it's got like a spline, the oil pump rod is a geared rod that meshes with the camshaft, and the only thing the distributor has is a slot. The oil pump rod, the distributor has a slot that slides into the top of the gear. So if you have to take that cam gear out of there, the distributor out, your cam gear out, there's a bushing in the bottom of the block, a bronze bushing. Make sure when you pull a hand, that bushing is not worn, because it's very important. The other thing is, those things are noted for bending distributor shafts. If you run into a funny skip or something like that you can't figure out, make sure you check that out.
KN4TFW Mobile.
Yep.
Yeah, good morning, guys.
Dodge. I won't say on here when I call a Dodge, because I'll get one of those $10,000 fines if I do.
Hey, Dodge.
It's an unusual way of thinking. Let's put it that way. I don't mind them. It's just until you get used to them. When I did my first 10 of them, one of my friends, he's the only Dodge Dodges, so he used to get me involved with all his Dodge projects, and I worked on none of my Mopar transmission, Mopar engines, 727s, 904s, front wheel drives, I mean, you name it, we worked on it.
Put in there. Yeah, you know, this was the saying, put a Dodge in your garage. After working on this, I'm going to say, get that Dodge out of your garage.
Tommy, I saw Tommy when I was up in Connecticut last time. He says, Allie says, you know, I feel a lot better not getting involved in all those projects. I said, yeah, we used to pull our hair out so bad. I remember one day, him and I were taking a transmission part, a wood cone part, and him and I lost our patience. We were both throwing tools around. People were walking around ducking.
Well, sounds like my coffee's done. I'll be back in a minute. KN4KBC.
The thunderstorms there, aren't we?
Yeah, hit and miss this afternoon.
I have a problem even just that time of time. I still have a problem with scratch once in a while. I still don't know. I think it's the coax this time. I'm waiting for it to get a little windy and find out.
Yeah, you've been good here lately, Annette. I haven't noticed anything wrong.
In the net, they heard all this. I had KI4 DOS. Listen, well, at least we saved Daniel's head gasket. We got lucky. It wasn't a head gasket. Can you imagine a thermostat did that? Isn't that something else?
What?
Because it didn't stick open. What it did was the bimetal spring gave up, so it started to open a little bit. So it opened a little bit, and it didn't open all the way, so it overheated because of that. You got to admit, I'd never seen that before, maybe once in 30 years. He's junk. I got applying for a work permit because I'm going to be a services for line trainee. Do I just call and ask for a permit, or I got to go down and talk to the Homeland Security boys, or who do I talk to?
We got our email permits to be out today from the corporate office, and so I don't know how you go about getting them.
Okay, well, the thing is, here's the thing. They're going to want to give me a hard time because I'm disabled, but I'm going to ask my doctor that they'll sign off on me today. Flying hard off, flying get put in jail too much. But I just don't know if I can come up with $100.
Yep.
I'll bill her 30 days in jail. Well, they gave me a chance for 30 days. So I guess they're generous. They're paying you what? If it's 30 days in jail, $100. So what's that? Two something a day? I say 30 days divided into 100, that goes. I wonder if I could double if I have a firm, I make $30 a day and give $30 a day while I'm still in jail.
Let's see how many stay home today.
This here's my problem. My problem is if my friend doesn't do what he says, I'm going to lose my house, end up on the streets. Bank's going to foreclose if something goes wrong. This is not a choice with me.
Closed on you because of the virus.
Yeah, because there's a stipulation in the law that I was already in questionable terms before. So they can do it. They can do it. Legally, they can't do it. That doesn't mean they won't. Trying to do at the end of this thing, if something does go wrong, they're going to demand all the, if they say something does go wrong and I can't come up with all the money, they're going to demand all the money at once, just like Duke's going to do. So that's going to put me in a spot. Anyway, but the rest of the other point is, it makes it, Citizens Blind, you know what they said to me? You can prove you can work, we'll have to back you. Means, don't you? That means that I have to go. I'm going through a lot of incredible amount of crap to prove it, which I will. But you see what I'm saying? They know that 90% of the blind for the country would never even dare to do what I'm doing. I'm not disappointed, but I'm just a little scared.
Ed says he got done early. It says 73.
Hey, Gary. They're really moving along to get him done, aren't they?
15.
he said he wanted to get done early, and actually for him that's a good time because nothing's got to be out there.
DOT Mobile.
Good morning, Tim.
What's going on?
It says 73. He got done at 4:15. He's taking a nap.
Fantastic. That's some good stuff right there.
That says you're allowed to be out today.
That.
Letter to go to work. That's insane. I'm going to let him go from Corbin, but I won't. This is actually just kind of interesting to see what happens when I find out about this. Quiet this morning.
Getting him under control.
I will tell you that when people say that the cat runs the house, they're really not kidding about that.
What's this letter thing about having to have a letter to go to work? Is that a state thing or something?
If they say stay at home or go to work and the police stop you, you have to be able to prove that your business is an essential business and needs to stay open, and you're allowed to be out you're allowed to be out because you're traveling to work.
For myself at the house, or if I got to go somewhere else to shop or something, that's what my work is. So, I mean, I'll have to get a grip, make sure I can go.
Letter to, like, our little motor shops and that we do business with all the time that are more local. So that, you know, if they needed to come in and assist us, that they could.
I hadn't heard about that.
I heard it today at 5 o'clock. What to do about it if they don't do it, but I'd rather not push it. Hard for my brother, too. That means when he gets home from work, it's going to be hard for him to do things for the house, even for me or the kids, because he's going to have to prove why he or his wife are out there.
You're going to have to show why you either got to be, going to help a family member, going to get groceries, going to work, or exercising.
This is weird because he's supposed to be my care provider, so But so far, he hasn't gotten a lot of things done. I've had to get cab drivers out of fuel. So this is this country's a mess. Care about this? Once you give up these rights, we're going to have to fight like you know what to get them back. So just remember, you don't want this to, we want to be very careful how this goes, because they're testing socialism on us to see how much they're going to get away with without civil unrest. And that's what this is what this really is about. So you got to remember that. And remember, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just telling you, this has been coming for 60 years. And this has been in the plan for the last 60, 70 years or longer. So we must understand that, you know, once we give up rights, it's very hard to get them back.
Started out here this morning, not much traffic at all, and I just went by a little motel, and it looks like it's about closed up. There ain't but about two cars in the parking lot.
They said all bed and breakfast, all hospitality business has to be closed. The only people that are there is to keep the building from getting robbed, and just to clean the building and keep it in operation so that it doesn't, so no vandals get it. So this is really a mess. They're going to make the Democratic Senator meet. They said, well, why don't we just use an empty basketball stadium? We can separate each other far off. We can get together there. I agree. They can use those stadiums to be there. They can put all of them in there and play a distance between each other so they can function just like we have to. I think all these people should work without pay until this is fixed. And donate the money to charity, or donate the money to needy people in the country that need it out of their salary, and let them live a little bit hard. Let's see how long they can last. Can you get my ideas that way? Bit of my ideas, because sometimes I slip a little bit, and I really don't. I mean, I don't mind a summons. I don't know if they send them in braille. I've never gotten a summons yet. Probably pretty close a couple times. I wonder if they send them in braille.
There's a little hotel that I pass every day that it looks just about as packed as it normally is.
Five.
Extended stays that are going to be all night, you know, where people are just living out of those because they don't have any other place to live, so they might be all right there.
Into the highway, so that might have something to do with it too.
A guy at work, I think he goes on vacation on Friday, and somehow he thinks he's still going to the Outer Banks.
I think he might be sadly disappointed when he arrives.
Letting you on if you can't prove you live there, and then everything should be shut down because they shut down all the, you know, bed and breakfasts and rental houses and everything. So I don't know what you would do.
About that, a lot of the cruise lines, a lot of the resorts don't want to give the money back. So, you know, it's a mess. I've never gone on vacation. I'm just, you know, thank God. You know what? It's a good thing, thank God. It's a darn good thing I got out of Connecticut when I did. I really would have been in trouble. Lucky I was to get out of there. Sitting around watching the coral off. I got a question for you guys. How do you watch birds when you can't see?
Listen to them.
I know what a hummingbird is. I don't know what a hawk sounds like yet. Damn. You don't try touching the bird. I took care of chickens back in Coast Cove Appliance. And when you take the eggs out of the bird, they peck rather nicely.
Off today.
Affirmative.
Off on Friday, make it a long weekend.
He don't actually set that schedule. He normally has Tuesdays off. That's if everything else is equal, he has Tuesdays off. But yeah, so he's off today, and I think everybody else is supposed to be in today. We'll see what happens. But I'm rolling up, so I'm gonna hop out of here. 7-3s to everybody. Hope you have a fantastic day, and hopefully we'll catch you in the morning. KK4POT.
7-3, Tim, say state. KN4TFW.
You probably be using anything laying around.
Tim.
I'm going to try, guys. I'm going to try to ground the feed through on the outside of my building. I'm going to get a piece of copper pipe and stick it in the ground. I got about a 3-foot piece of copper. I might run a piece of wire all the way down and stick it through between the deck and the floor. And I might try hooking that thing with an alligator clip right to my ground of my, and ground my transmitter to the ground that way and see if that doesn't knock to it. It might be getting in through the electrical line or through the connector somehow.
Probably will help, but normally you don't start seeing any good till you're down about 6 feet. Usually you have to run those ground rods down about 6 feet.
That's how I did. I just grounded the connector temporarily. Well, I got 6 ground rods around the tower. They're down 8 feet. So, I mean, I could probably do, well, I think all I got to do is get it away from the electrical ground. Maybe what I'll do later is find out where Charlie's got me grounded to the electrical ground, and maybe I'll just snip it off. Outside my house, and I went about 2-3 feet of copper. I do have 3-foot piece, 8-foot piece, but I went down 3 feet, just grounded the connector to the outside of the building, you know, the TV set right to that connector. Once I did, it knocked it right out, because the connector's not shielded.
I mean, 3 feet is better than nothing, but you want to get a real good ground, you normally have to go at least 6 feet.
You dig a hole and put the 8-foot rod 3 feet in the ground sideways. That's the other way you can do it.
I've never heard of anybody doing it that way before. So I couldn't attest to running it sideways like that. But driving it down, yeah, you normally have to go about 6 feet.
I go 6 feet because I couldn't get the other two because of rock.
Present a problem when you start hitting rock. Not a whole lot you can do about that. About trying to bust through with a piece of copper rod. Normally it doesn't work too good.
First I tried the 10-pound sledgehammer, then I tried the electric jackhammer. That didn't work so well. I think I'm hitting something pretty solid.
But we'll get you through rock a lot further than if you were just trying to do it with a sledgehammer is to use a fence post driver. If you use a fence post driver on them, a lot of times you can bust through some rock.
Electric jackhammer attachments they have for them. If they're on the top of the rod, fence post driver.
Matter of fact, it's a whole lot easier using a fence post driver than it is trying to use a sledgehammer, especially when you're first starting out high.
And 10-pound sledgehammers are not easy to swing. I tell you, my nephew, when he didn't do the ground rods, you know, he got to have 4 ground rods around the tower. He didn't put the first ones in the right place for my friend was KJ4HYD. He was a chief RF engineer, you know, the radio station. And he, when he did the tower, showed me where he wanted the rods, and my nephew didn't listen to him. So he called back, he said, "Hell, were you the knucklehead that started these rods?" I said, "No," I said, "my nephew did." So he walks over my nephew, you see, he hands us up to 10-pound sledge. He said, "Now here's 2 more rods." He says, "This time you won't want to listen to me. Now you got to put 2 more." I started laughing.
Start those things sideways or even a little bit off, and you start driving them down, you might as well just keep going with them because you're not going to pull them back out.
You can't get them out. I did one time when I was driving some conduit for antenna mast. I ran some real super hot water, about 190-degree hot water, and got a little hole started and get the water to soften the soil up. That makes it a lot easier to drive the rod. If you're 60 years old like I am, and my body's worn out from doing stuff like that, your body says, "No, I can't do that no more."
That driving rod stuff, that's some rough stuff. Like I said, especially if you're trying to use a sledgehammer. Boy, that'll about kill you.
2 of them here, I did 2 of them at this house here. And, but when we did the tower, because he got through exactly in the right spot, I said, my nephew said, wait a mechanical engineer. I told him, I said, Brian, you got to understand that Kevin told you where he wanted it for a reason. He said, electrically, they got to be in the spots he says they got to be. Conclusion, mechanical engineers do not understand electricity.
They don't, and I couldn't tell you how many times I've had to go back behind some of these so-called engineers and redo and fix things that they actually designed wrong. And yeah, you're right. Most of them now don't.
He told me that electricity does not make sense. And I said, listen, electricity makes more sense than you think it does. And what I said to him was, you have to think like electricity. You have to be lazy. I said, now, anyone that's lazy should understand electricity rather well. I had a good mechanics teacher. You wouldn't think a mechanics teacher would be good at electrical wiring, but this guy was a whiz.
Hey, and I guess that's why I'm an electrical engineer, because I'm lazy and I think the path is least resistance.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's why there's certain people cut out for that kind of work and understand it.
A lot of engineers now, though, because a lot of them have really forgotten the basics of designing stuff, because everything's done on a computer now, and a lot of them just want to copy and paste from different things that have been saved here and there instead of actually sitting down and trying to think, you know, again, if this actually goes with this or not.
But usually wants an answer in 2 minutes. That's what I run into a lot. Say, oh, we don't know this now? K4BA.
You know how electricity explained to me when I first started? He said, think of a big water pipe. If you put a break in the pipe, the water doesn't flow. This anyway, was a basic DC premise. I mean, the electricity will flow into the ground if you put enough power to it. But basically, you got to think of it as just like water in the pipe. I thought electricity was cool. I mean, most people don't think so, but I think it's kind of great.
Especially the first time I stuck a penny in the outlet as a kid. I think that's where it all started. K4PA.
You know what I did? My mom told me not to stick the scissors in the plug. She went to the store when I was like 5 years old. So I said, well, I want to see what that does. So I stuck the scissors in the hole. And let me tell you, I got a bit more hammer. I'll tell you what, that lit me right up. Yeah.
Yes, I used the mechanical analogy of water to pipe and wire. I guess it's kind of similar when you get the conductors. I guess the only difference is with the conductor is you can still move electricity if some of the conductor is left, it's damaged, whereas the pipe, if there's a hole, it's just going to leak out.
It's just an analogy to try to get someone to understand the basic premise of it.
Check valves, and you know, you get the other types of valve analogies with relays and transistors being a throttle valve. So now you got your current going into the base, loading your current through your collector emitter. So things like that give you some good analogies for sure.
Paul, vacuum tube?
That's before my time. We learned, of course, semiconductors, but yeah.
That's the thing I want to tell you. Vacuum tubes are very important. I'm glad to see that, well, our country's going to have to start making them again because for national security reasons, they're important. And the other thing I want to tell you is, since there are places you can get a lot of relief, you still make some, but very few. But some of the things that people don't understand is, big high-power air fryers, vacuum tubes are a way to fly. If you're a solid-state or chip driver, and you do tube files, because there ain't nothing better than low high-power, high voltage, it'll take a zap or a zorch better than a vacuum tube will. I was going to work on some solid-state stuff, the MOSFETs, and the MOSFETs are okay, but you got so much protection in circuitry, but it's cool. When Kevin showed me how it worked, he said, if you have, let's say you got a 5 kW transmitter on a AM broadcast band, let's say, if one of those files are designed so if one of the once that circuit goes out, you got to plug it and rebuild the circuit out of the transmitter, which is pretty cool because then you just isolate it down so that you need, you know, that way you can keep the transmitter on air. The light bulb is, incandescent bulb is, if you want to heat up your little bathroom, your little hot rod bulb, just stick it in there and close the door up, and it'll keep the darn thing from freezing.
Actually, to me, vacuum tubes are easier to design around than transistors or MOSFETs are. But to me, they are anyway.
Didn't hear what happened in Alaska this year. The AM transmitter is designed with an open wire feed because it's the most efficient way to feed that antennas. Well, with a tuning network, sometimes what happens is if with a tube, if something shorts out, it'll arc over, and sometimes it'll blow up, but usually it'll knock the transmitter with the design of the transmitter, go out at a lower power, and keep the transmitter surviving, it won't go out. Well, MOSFETs, what they do is you can't use a wire line because if something intermittently shorts the thing out, it kicks the transmitter in overload, and then the engineer's got to go all the way back down here and reset. Well, when the earthquake happened, it knocked every single transmitter out of overload, so they had no PKs across the whole state.
No, I never did hear about that one. The only thing that makes tubes, vacuum tubes, a little hard to build around is the transformers involved. The transformers becoming really expensive and kind of hard to find. But other than that, the tube itself is, to me, easy to design around.
But the thing is, the big problem is a darn filament transformer. You start getting these big, you know, 500 kilowatt transmitters and stuff, shortwave transmitter. You got a heck of a transformer that filament. That's a big, brute transformer, man. I forgot how much current that stupid filament draws, but it's a lot.
Yeah, they're not teaching engineers to do anything with them anymore. I mean, I graduated in 05, and we didn't even, I don't know if we even covered anything regarding vacuum tubes. You'd have to go back and probably the 80s, I would think, to even get anything like that.
Guys, the military still uses vacuum tubes for a good reason, and if they're not teaching it, they're not very smart. You know what my nephew told me in Clemson? They're not teaching antenna theory anymore either, and that's pretty stupid.
I look at the class schedule. When I was there, they were still teaching it. I know the professor that, I think they're still teaching it because, I have to check, they only offer it once a semester, but the professor that teaches it gives extra credit to people to get their ham radio license, and every semester we give people lots of look.
I was almost out of the way, and my nephew said they're not teaching anymore. Well, my nephew got his amateur radio license a long time. That's probably why he did it. Well, you realize to work on a broadcast transmitter in the broadcast field, you have to have your amateur license. Did you know? Oops, did you know that? Anyway, they kind of encourage it. See, man, I'm telling you, this country is so far out of touch with reality, it's amazing.
A real good pentoed tube, and with probably less than a handful of parts, not including what you need for your power supply, but a little less than a handful of parts, and you can design a good HF amplifier for hardly anything.
But I need some help designing a solid-state driver for it. I want to build, do you remember the little 6AQ5s they used to use? I want to parallel two of them up, make a little linear, and get one of those little 100-milliwatt chips to drive it, and actually run that as my low-power sideband rig. You know, get one of those little teeny chips, the solid-state little sideband, make a little solid-state driver, and drive that thing with a real clean solid-state driver so it's stable as a rock.
K4BA, and yeah, it looks like they're still teaching it this semester. But I can see why they would stop offering it. Looks like online, no, looks like they have six, yeah, only five out of the 20 possible people that could take it, taking it, so they definitely interest is dropping off.
You see, I can't wait to see one of these dummies has got to actually fix one. antenna here in Gary Cathbord, U.S., and I will tell you, him and Ray have got a lot. I learned a lot from him and Ray, and they've got a lot of RF experience, and my antenna has stumped all of us more than once.
I didn't even take the class when I was there. I took microwave circuit design, and my senior project was an antenna, but it was an antenna most people would never use. It was a 17 gigahertz high impedance ground plane antenna, so it was an antenna about the size of a postage stamp. We tested it, anechoic chamber and all that, but I never even took the antennas course.
You might want to get your fingers in the pie and start playing because you're going to learn so much. See, that's what's cool about this is one thing I love about amateur radio, and this is something that's so great. Is I work with young guys, old guys, and it's kind of funny. You know, you look at things like that. Now, like I got a funny RF problem here, and it's been making me pull my hair off. I'm telling you, I'm going to get it fixed.
I've done a little bit of course building on antennas and such, but I ended up working in the power industry because that's kind of where I started in college and got interested in, and job security was a factor and not having to relocate and move a lot. And had a lot of friends that go work for various wireless and communications, you know, mostly contractors for the Department of Defense. But the job security is definitely not there, and the relocation, and I mean, they've been through five or six jobs and relocations, and I just didn't, I'm glad I didn't go that path, even though it would be more interesting. I didn't want to live in the places I have to live.
My friend WHLR up in Maine, LR did up in Maine. He found a mountain when he was younger and bought the top of the mountain, and we ended up being an RF engineer, broadcast engineer, and he owns the mountain and rents the top of the mountain of all radio stations and fixes all radio stations in the area, has their towers and transmitters and stuff up there. So if you're going to do it, that's the only way to do it.
And I will say now, week four into working from home, I think this is week four, I'm starting to lose track of the days. I enjoy that. If I could find a different job and just work from home, that would be, I do well working by myself, and which if you're working on a transmitter, that's probably what you get to do a lot of.
I get my freedom back so I can, I've got a few projects that I need help, that blind people in this country need help with, and I really want to solve them before I'm too old and can't, like the dial board gauge and other things that blind people need help right now, especially voltmeters and things. It's stopping blind people from getting in all these fields, and there's no reason. Blindness has nothing to do with the fact that you can't do it.
Completely. I know a few people that are visually impaired, and they do quite well. I think sometimes people kind of, it's other people that limit you, not yourself, and that's kind of sad.
You know, I mean, this dial board gauge thing, the audible dial board gauge, you know, Sun tried it years ago, and they never did it. The National Federation of Blind never perfected it. One of the best guys in the field did. And I think I got to test this thing out in the next couple weeks. I think I've got something. There's only a few bugs I got to work out, and I think I got it nailed. And if I got it nailed, that's going to be a real breakthrough. If you'll be able to check CNC work, do power control, run dial boards, and then I can CNC a machine, and I can actually make the CNC machine so that you can run that manually if you need to, or a blind person will be able to know to set things up and be able to program it to do what it wants, and then be able to check the work with the dial mortgage, and you could actually make the mortgage slide up and down the bar somehow so it could check itself.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's amazing. I mean, to hop in. I know there's other people in here. I'm Alex, by the way, over in Clemson. I thought I was speaking with you before. I don't know who else is in there. Okay, 4BAU.
I don't know who else is left in here.
And 4TFW.
In here.
Yeah, just sitting here in the parking lot waiting for them to allow us to come in and go through our checks and everything. But I see that the guy they thought might have had it must have been negative, because I see some other workers are back that were around him.
News.
I mean, you're too, because all the allergies. I'm about yesterday at work. I've got to go in Friday night for some outage work, and they said, yeah, they're going to ask you all these questions, and one includes cough. I said, well, I've been coughing for weeks. Are you aware of the yellow summer snow here in South Carolina?
Put some artificial tears in here, because I get dried up. I was laughing.
And as soon as they get ready to cut hay, boy, I'll be sneezing 400 times a day, and everybody be looking at me.
Today.
Coasting by today. Hopefully it won't be too bad. Yesterday it was, do we need masks or do we not need masks? But I guess they settled on they don't. But I don't know how you're going to get by with saying you're essential business but not protecting your employees. But we'll see how the week works.
This requirements or suggestions, they delayed forever because nobody has supplies. But, and I've been working from home, but it's funny, I got to go in Friday because I actually have to be there. But I'm just going to sit at my desk in a room by myself for the duration, just so they can call me on the phone, which we're still arguing, why can't we do that from home? But anyhow, and then until May 1st, I'm working from home again, so it's interesting. We have to do all the temperature stuff when we go in.
Couples are just having it set up with a central spot to check everybody.
We're actually doing a couple of things. So we have to go in at a different time now than the shift personnel. And so we couldn't potentially, if we did have it, we wouldn't cross-contaminate them, the essential personnel. And even before you get in the gate, they're checking your temperature and asking you questions, which honestly, I'll check. I've been checking my temperature all week just to make sure, which I haven't really been anywhere since it started, about once a day, and I'll keep doing that. I'll even check it before I go to work, because there's no reason to even get in the car if I have anything.
Hey, you stop right there. You just stop.
Well, guys, I'm gonna jump out of here and go on in. Looks like they're letting them in. So I'll say 73 to Bill and Alex. It's good to meet you, and hope to catch you on the radio again. And Al, 73, and you guys all stay safe. And I'll be clear on your final, KN4TFW.
Kim, we'll talk at you later. KN4KBC.
Well, I was tuning caps for a little power transmitter stuff. I should be able to come up with some old tuning caps. I have some old AM radios, probably work just fine.
Have a good day. Stay safe out there. K4BAN.
Depends on how much power you're going to be wanting to use on those tuning caps.
Do is run the 10 or 6 AQ5s, in parallel, two of them, and just a little linear out of them. And actually, I can use one 6 AQ5 to run a Class A, I suppose, or AB, or A, but I was going to use two and push pull, and then run, like a. And then run A, B, or B, A, B, 1, A, or B, probably A, B, 1, and then just run 130 volts on the tube, which is fine for that little tube. Its rating is 250, but you don't need to, I'm not going to push the little tubes, you know what I mean?
It really depends on how broad or narrow-banded you want it to be, and what frequency you plan on using them for, too.
It's going to be for basically 40 and 160 and 80 meters, maybe up to 40, And I can always jump it up with an alligator clip in a tank to go a little bit, for another faster switch collection in there. I probably build it for one band. It'd probably be easier to do that.
I mean, if you're going to build it for just one band and maybe one frequency, then you can go A or AB. And won't have too much trouble, but if you want it fairly broad-banded, you're probably going to have to go Class C. You're not going to get much out of it running it to Class A or AB anyway, because the efficiency is really low on those two things. So yeah, it just depends on what you want them to do.
Drive a bigger rig. I want to run a real small 1-watt, 2-watt QRP rig inside them. If I want to, you know, I mean, I don't care if I get a watt. It doesn't really matter as long as it's clean, you know what I mean?
Build a little King amp.
I want to use a solid state driver so that I know it's stable, you know what I mean? Because sideband transmitters are all vacuum tubes. It's a lot more complicated than if you drive it with something that's solid state.
The matching network can tend to get a little rougher to deal with, but I mean, it can be done. You can still tune a tube driver into a tube final without too much trouble.
I mean, the carrier for the sideband, so that's the part that I've never done that part of a sideband server. I never built one of those before.
Your radio does that. Your tubes don't care what you're putting through them, as long as you're putting AC, RF into it. Those tubes don't care whether it's sideband or AM or FM. It's going to amplify it, period. Your radio is the one that changes from, you know, notch of carriers on either side.
I use a solid state, low power, you know, little transistor driver, solid state transmitter for to eliminate the sideband, because I know, because, you know, this transmitter I'm running here, the lowest power you can run at AM is 5 watts. And, you know, lots of times I want to play around and try to get my antennas in key. And if I can run 1 watt and get on the air with tubes and run 2 watts and make communications with it, then I know I got an antenna that works. One thing, the key is, spend $1,000 on your antenna, $20 on the radio.
If you don't have a good antenna, that's about right, because if you don't have a good antenna, it doesn't matter how much money you put into that radio or amp or whatever it is that you're buying, it's about useless.
When you think about it, the losses in the feed line, all that stuff, you get 3 dB going 50 feet. 3 dB is half your power. And if you're only running 5 watts with a 10-to-1 system, you're in trouble.
I use all LMR 400 on my stuff, and that's always worked real good for me.
400 is a lot lower loss. You can get the solid or you can get the strand, and I think the strand is a little bit better for this area because with the wind and the crazy weather conditions we get around here.
I mean, the solid is actually better, but if you're having to go around corners, you know, and tight spaces and this and that and the other, then the stranded super flex normally ends up working better for that.
With the butter beating up the cable like 4 or 5 times. Well, I found that cheap cable Radio Shack used to sell. That stuff was worthless.
I think I'm going to get me another cup of coffee. I'll be back in just a minute. King and 4KBC.
Still on that beam, they're just consistent as heck.
Through two cups right now. I've got one cup of regular and one cup of bulletproof coffee.
Bulletproof coffee? I've tried 8 o'clock coffee a couple times.
Just a trademark, I guess. It's really just regular coffee. I think it's actually Starbucks type place, but you add a tablespoon of butter and a tablespoon of coconut oil in a blender and you blend it. And so the idea is you can skip breakfast because of the fat, the butter, and the MCT, medium chain triglyceride oil, which is a coconut oil, gives you gradual release so you don't get hungry.
Okay, well, that's actually a good idea.
Goes with intermittent fasting. If you want to, I've been eating way too much working from home. I probably gained 5 or 6 pounds in the last 3 weeks, so I've got to do something. Just sitting around eating, and it's not like at work, what I bring in is what I eat. At home, it's, you know, I got quite a bit of canned goods and stuff stocked up and other things for the famine and everything ahead. And
my doctor's appointment last time, the doctor said, make sure it passed for 12 hours. I said, no. I said, that's not how you do it right. sorry about the outtake. He said, how long do you pass it off? I said, about 19 hours with black coffee. He goes, yeah, that's about it. That'll about do it.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. I mean, anything, obviously, longer is better, but 16 is what I've heard, so you can do just eat within the same 7-8 hour period every day. So, like, for me, it's probably 11 to 7. Eat my first, usually the early lunch, and then try to eat a later supper. And that'll work. Depends on what you eat, obviously. I've been eating a lot of carbs, and you know what? High salt canned goods and sugar. I gotta stop going to the grocery store and getting candy bars. But I tell you, when you're inside a lot, you kind of feel like you deserve something, I guess.
So you fast longer, your body goes into a situation where it actually does get rid of toxins after a certain amount of time, which it won't get rid of unless you do it longer. So you don't tell you a lot of these. And the thing I gotta learn to do, and I don't do it, is have small amounts of food 20 times a day and don't eat late at night. But eating late at night is just something I got into the habit of doing. I've done it for the last 25 years, and it's the worst thing to do.
I've done a bit of that myself, especially in college. I would do quite a bit of that, just up late studying. And generally, I never really pulled all-nighters. I guess I did once to write a paper, best paper I ever wrote, and that's that's when I'm like, well, writing papers isn't too bad. But I would always study until about 12 or 1, and depending upon my class the next day, sleep 5 or 6 hours. I wouldn't do that every night. That was in extreme circumstances. But as I've gotten older, I've tried to get my standard 7-8 hours a night, at least 7. And kind of crazy working from home. I feel like I'm working more than when I was working at work.
Sleep a long time, never could. I'm one of those people. And the blindness, I used to see light years ago, which made it a little easier, but I never was one of those who could sleep 8 hours. I didn't like doing it. I never liked it. But the problem is, if you don't sleep enough, your body doesn't want to heal.
K4BA, and I'm not on the weekends, good 8. During the week, about 7 is what I shoot for. I'm trying to get 8, but like last night I was up late working on some stuff at work and stuff at home, I guess. Because I kind of do some work and then I go do something else, kind of get distracted, so trying to get everything leveled out. But the girlfriend, she'll sleep, oh my goodness, 10, 12 hours on a weekend and a night. I mean, it's... But during the week, she doesn't sleep that much from work, so I think she's just trying to catch up, but she really don't ever catch up.
I thought I had that 9.4 stuff, and I really don't. I tell you what, though, it's tough when you don't sleep real good. You got to slam stuff out anyway.
That's true. That's true. Not sleeping and not eating affects me greatly, so I try to avoid it if I can.
A little space between us, so if somebody jumps in, I got to remember if you're here to do that. I'm trying to give you some space, because that's one thing you got to remember to do, so that way if someone echo linker, someone jumps in, you give them time to do it.
K4BA, yeah, good practice. Oh, man. Well, what's the stock market going to do today? I've been looking at futures, it looks like when the bid last night they were down, and today they're up, so we'll see.
The best thing in the stock market is a risky situation. I think the best thing to do in the stock market is leave it alone and don't worry about it. If you secure your money right in the first place, if you take care of it, use proper precautions, you won't get blasted. If you're smart, if you're in it for the long term and everybody makes more to deal with it than they should, what's really important is the main thing is us working together to get this economy and y'all have some small business guys and everybody working together so we can put this stupid mess that our government caused and put us into back together. It's their fault, the whole darn thing in the first place. And when they recognize that, maybe they'll get up and smell the coffee.
Investing is definitely, I'm no expert, but I do manage my non-retirement stuff, I'll say. I call it my early retirement stuff. It's the retirement before the retirement, but it's very emotional. You'll learn, but you know that. The stock market is extremely emotional, and people will hear things and make decisions like they'll drive up the price of, say, Zoom, which is, you know, a virtual meeting, whatever, software company. But if you look at the value of the company, it's not worth anything near what people are paying for the stock. But you get a little good news, and they'll drive it up one day.
W1CE Mobile.
Investor, but some people are short-term price action investors. A little both. K4BAN. But, yeah, just the, if you know the price action, which no one really knows any given day, you can make a, you know, a decent amount of money in like an hour just riding it through. And you're really just riding the algorithms that are out there trading. If you can ride the back of them for a little bit and jump off before you hit the peak, because you won't get off fast enough at the peak. They're a lot faster than you.